Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the webcast once again.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We're just so glad that you're with us. So, what's going on in your world, Barry?
Well, the weekly weather report from Canada, it was -8 in the wind chill this morning and snow all day. So, okay. Hey, we're getting ready for Christmas, get a white Christmas and all that. But how's everything in England? Probably a balmy 10 or something.
Oh, we're a balmy 2 or 3 today. We've got a storm blowing in, which is knocking a few trees down. But, other than that, life is good. But I was just thinking, Barry, if you've got such extremes of weather, I ought to pop over and see you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially bring your parka.
Okay.
Do you have parkas in the UK?
We do. Yeah. I'll come over right now.
Oh, okay. Why don't you come over right now? Oh, I did it. There he is. Okay. So thanks for coming, Mark. I told you I would mess it up. So
I knew it. He would. We were practicing this before we went on. And we just knew he'd get it the wrong angle. But there we go.
Okay. So. Okay, let's try this
the other way.
One more time.
Okay, that way.
Okay, come and see me. Okay. All right. See, that's our special effects guy. Sorry, that's about as good as it gets.
Oh, we can have a few more. Let's just liven it up.
Oh yes,
a little bit.
See, this is our version of Advent. We're just preparing for Christmas and fireworks and.
As you can see, we need a lot of preparation. Anyway, we were just having a bit of fun beforehand. So,
those boys, it's what boys do when they have a little bit of time on their hands. So they start thinking about, how they can misbehave. So,
yeah, and we're pretty good at doing that.
And just to mention to everybody, next week will be our last broadcast for 2021, and then we'll be back at it. You're going to, are you starting off the year without me then? Is that when the next?
Yeah, I think I'm starting. I'm kicking off the new year on, did we say Wednesday the 5th or the 12th?
The 5th.
The 5th, yeah. So we're kicking off the new year Wednesday the 5th, and Barry will be in Toronto at the School of Ministry.
Yeah, I'll be teaching a leader school.
Yeah.
And it's in person, yay. It's always nice. It's, hopefully we'll be able to do more of those in-person live meetings. But, but unfortunately that week I'll miss you guys. But, Mark's going to be just kicking off the 2022 with maybe some fireworks in the background, special effects. Who knows now?
I can bring your head in. Right. You can zoom in.
That's right. Yeah, you never know what could happen there for sure.
Or if we get bored, we could just come and join you at the School of Ministry, the leader school. Yes. I mean, why not?
Yes, come on. There's lots. I'm sure online it's, you could you can fit a lot more people in a room online than you can in seats.
That's right.
So are there any announcements that you have? Anything that, because you at the school coming up in, is it March?
Can I just mention that again?
Yeah.
So we've got the Father Heart School in the UK at the end of March, the 26th to the 31st of March at Cloverley Hall in Shropshire in the UK. Really, really looking forward to that. It's going to be so good to be doing a school again back in the UK. And I was just thinking about these encounters. They are so life changing, and I know many of you know that because you've done one or you've done a couple of them, but they really are just a good investment of time, a good investment of money. And so we're running this one. I got the team from Bridge North and Shrewsbury helping me, great team, Mike and Sue, Norman and Johanna. And I got Wynette coming over from the Netherlands. So I would just really encourage you to think about coming if you're in the UK or you want to travel. or even just to recommend it to your friends, your churches, or whatever. All of the information's on the website. There's a little promotion, a little short video that's got a little bit of information about it. But, you know, we would just love to welcome everybody to join us for that. So that's the end of March, last week of March.
Well, it's going to be here before you know it.
I know it is. It's not that long away, eh?
No.
So, Sorry?
The older we get, the faster time flies, it seems, too.
That's right. Yeah, it seems to shoot by. I was just thinking today, it's nearly the end of the year. It's like, where's this year gone? Oh. You know, and here we are. And nearly another one ticked off, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
So tonight we're kind of just looking at another one of our just sort of series looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We looked at the fruit of joy and peace, didn't we? And tonight we're looking at the fruit of faithfulness. So shall I just pray, Barry, and then do you want to kick off with your thoughts?
Sure, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, Father, thank you once again for being with us. Father, thank you that this is your fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not our fruit. It's the fruit that grows in our lives because we live in the Spirit, because we live in your Son, because we live in you. And even tonight, Father, we just want to tuck back into you. We want to tuck back into the depths and the breadth and the height and the length of your Spirit dwelling in us. We want that overflow of life just to pour through us, in us and through us. And so, Father, as we just look at this topic of faithfulness, may we have your perspective. May we understand it from your point of view, rather than the distorted way we often look at these things. So, Father, just let the eyes of our heart be opened. And even as we talk, Father, may your Spirit just fill us, the Spirit of life that causes us to cry, Abba. Father, would that just flow into our hearts?
Yeah.
Even as we talk and share together, Father, may that Spirit of life just flow into our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, mate. I'm looking forward to, I don't know if we've actually talked, of course we've talked a lot about God's faithfulness on the broadcast, but not the necessarily specifically about the fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness. And I just want to, I'll start by just reading Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And this is from the ESV version of the Bible, and just describing the fruit of the Spirit. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And, you know, as Mark said, you know, I think we know this at a level, but then there's part of us that doesn't, you know, quite... We think we have to do something in our own kind of initiative. But this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the personality of God himself. And so, you know, when we talk about the love, the fruit of the Spirit is love even, it's the love of God. And it's God's joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And, you know, God's peace, as we talked about when Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." And so, you know, when we talk about faithfulness, I think, you know, and I think Mark's going to unpack this a little bit more when he has some things to share. But I think sometimes when we think of faithfulness, as far as our response to that, it's just like, what do I have to do to be faithful? And I think that, you know, I think tonight, you know, it's just being able to understand that it's not our faithfulness. It's actually God's faithfulness. And, you know, as we were preparing for this, and I was just thinking about, you know, what does this mean to our Heavenly Father? And I really believe that his faithfulness is a big deal for him. He is faithful, and he wants us to know he is faithful. And, you know, back in 2007, I was going through a bit of a struggle myself with just feeling vulnerable. And some of the struggles that I was experiencing were more with the father's love letter was still in like full kind of going around the world and in various degrees. And I just was struggling with a sense of feeling vulnerable because of the reach, the exposure on the internet, and you know, and so I was just, you know, battling some, you know, even thoughts of fear and just, you know, that, you know, we're preaching the gospel around the world using the internet. And I just felt very vulnerable. And it was during that time I felt like the Lord encouraged me to create a new website called 365promises.com. And in that I did a lot of research on promises of God, you know, in kind of very similar way to the Father's love letter in the first person, where there was 365 promises that the Father himself is making to us and has made to us. And that website is still going all these years later. You know, there's still quite a few people every day that visit the website and get, you know, the daily devotionals and all those other things, which, you know, totally surprises me. But through that process, it was like I really felt that the Father was, you know, really encouraging me and to, I don't know, just to realize how important it is in his heart that we know that he keeps his promises. He is the ultimate promise keeper. And so I'm just going to read a few scriptures, and these are passages that you are familiar with and I'm familiar with. But again, I think it just really reiterates the fact that God is faithful. You know, no matter what happens, his faithfulness is everlasting. In, you know, Exodus chapter 34, and it's verse 6 I'm going to read, but this is, you know, when God himself passed by Moses, right, and put Moses in the cleft of the rock. And he said, you can't see my face because you'll die, but, you know, you'll kind of see from, you know, my back. And then the Lord proclaimed this. This is the Lord passed by before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, a gracious, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So this is God himself declaring who he is, right? Moses said, and I think it's interesting, Moses said to God, he says, I show me your glory. And then God responded by saying, I will let my goodness pass by you. And again, this comes down to the very sense of the love of the Father who is so kind. And really, you know, when we talk about glory, you know, oftentimes, you know, we talk about, you know, this presence that comes in a room, which is fantastic. And, you know, I've read stories and books of pulpits splitting in two when the glory of God came. But when God himself described his glory, he describes him as his goodness. And again, then when he makes this description that he's abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, it is so important. And I just want to encourage you, and I am encouraging me too at the same time, is that when we begin to realize that God is faithful, and it's not in our ability to have faith, it's in his faithfulness. And so, you know, I think this is where, when we talk about the faithfulness of the fruit of the Spirit, we can't separate the fruit of faithfulness from the personality of God, where that fruit comes from. Because again, you know, if we have this distorted idea of faithfulness that comes from our self effort, that I have to do something, I have to work hard, I have to prove to God that I'm faithful, I have to be a servant, and I have to, you know, we get into this place of it's self effort. But, you know, I just believe that the Father wants to encourage each and every one of us tonight, that it's an impartation of his faithfulness that he actually gives to us, that we can in return, you know, manifest in our relationship with him. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 to 11, again, this is what it says. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. And then you get this idea of God really wanting his people to know that, I mean, I'm not only faithful to you, but I'm faithful to 1,000 generations. And then in Psalm 91, verse 4, it says, talking about, again, the faithfulness of God, it says, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You know, Psalm 119, it says, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. Psalm 145, 13 to 15 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are following and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food in their due season. And in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23, this is a passage that we're all very, very familiar with. But I just believe it's so visual, and it's so applicable and understandable, because God is just connecting his faithfulness with every sunrise and every morning. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So, you know, all of these scriptures are scriptures in the Old Testament that speak of God. And there's many more. I mean, we could, you know, be here all day just reading scriptures that speak of the faithfulness of God. But I just believe that it's the very essence of who he is. He's faithful. He's loyal. He's steadfast in his devotion to us. And he will never, ever change. And so many times when even we struggle with feeling that we're loved, it's like we're trying to understand love through the grid of our own worthiness to be loved, our own self-effort to deserve to be loved. But when, you know, I would just want to encourage you, and I just encourage me at the same time, that the reality is that we can't have our eyes on our understanding, our broken, limited grid of what love is that, but when we fix our eyes on the eternal love of the Father and his goodness and his mercy and his compassions that never fail, and the mercies are new every morning, and his great faithfulness, then we begin, I believe, to take our eyes off of our own ability to be lovable, and then we really focus on God, who never ever fails. You know, one of the scriptures that you know, that we're all familiar with, and it talks about struggle and temptation that we wrestle with, is in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13, where Paul writes this. He says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And so, again, this is a promise that you and I have. No matter what we go through, God's going to give us the grace and the ability to get through it. And when it's beyond our ability to manage it, he's going to provide a way of escape. And it's, why is that? It's because he is faithful. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 to 23, again, Paul writes, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. So again, you know, my dear friends, I just believe that the Father wants to just with his faithfulness, he wants to just encourage us. It's like, I just feel like he just wants to kind of wrap his arms around us and say, oh, my little chickadees, you know, my little ones, I love you. And I, you know, even if you lose your faith, and that's what it says in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 11 to 13, Paul's writing, he says, even when we are faithless, God remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. So you know, why is God faithful to you and I? It's because he has loved us with an everlasting love. And he is faithful to, he has joined himself through the new creation process, through what Jesus did on a cross 2,000 years ago, where he cannot disown us. He can't deny himself. And so even when we aren't faithful, when we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny who he is. And I think, you know, one of the things that I just feel like as we unpack this idea of faithfulness and being, you know, the character and nature of God, is that, you know, for our own hearts to actually be set at rest, that, you know, oh my gosh, you know, it's like, you know, like the little girl playing that game, you know, a lot of little girls used to do where they'd have a flower and they'd be pulling out the flower petal saying, he loves me not, talking about little boy that they're sweet on. He loves me. And that when the hope is that the last flower petal will be, he loves me. But sometimes in the way that we think of God and we think of it, that his faithfulness is really connected to our performance. And that if, you know, he doesn't love me, because how can he love me? Because I messed up. I failed. I don't deserve the love. But I really believe the Father himself loves us because he loves us because he loves us, and he's faithful, and that's the very essence of his being, and he cannot be anything but faithful. And even when we are faithless, he continues to pursue us. He continues to love us. He continues to convince us every day that he is true. His word is true. Everything that God has spoken about you or I will come to pass. And I Mark, this is the last scripture that I'll just invite you on, but it's Hebrews 10:23, and the writer of Hebrews says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And again, our Heavenly Father is the ultimate promise keeper. He's good. He's kind. At every promise, he's not a man that he should lie. He wants us to know that he keeps his promises. And it's a faithfulness that's beyond our natural ability to comprehend it, because each and every one of us have been let down at one time or another by, you know, friends or family or parents or employers or teachers or whatever, by governments, that we have been disappointed. But God will never let us down. He is faithful to the end. And so I really believe that that same faithfulness that the Father has, He has actually, by his Spirit, imparted that to us. So anyways, that's my thoughts, mate.
That's good. Thank you. I was just thinking about faithfulness today, and the first thing I did actually, Barry, was look it up in a dictionary. You know, what does the word faithful mean? And it means to have a firm and constant devotion. You know, and that just fits so well with everything Barry's just said, you know, that the Father has that constant devotion to us. It never lets us go. Another definition of the word is united to something or someone through a promise. And obviously we think about that in the marriage context, you know, that we make a promise and then we want to be faithful to our husband or wife. And, you know, those of us who are married, probably with the exception of Barry and Anne, you know, we all have our struggles. We all have those challenging times. And, you know, many, many couples, of course, that's when their faithfulness gets unraveled. But, you know, when you've got that commitment and that promise, you know, there's, you know, you're united together through a promise. That's what faithfulness is. You know, you hang on to something and you won't let go, whatever is thrown at you. And I was really just thinking, as Barry has just really clearly said, you know, God is faithful to us. You know, his promises are yes and amen. And, you know, he hangs on to us. He's got that devotion, that constant devotion to us that, you know, basically says, Mark, whatever you do, I'm going to be faithful. And many of you know that I stopped working. I stopped accountancy back in March. And, you know, on my last day in the office, I reflected with my colleagues on the faithfulness of God to us as a business, you know, and how well God had looked after us. Over 30 years, he'd been faithful. But I started to think this morning about how does that faithfulness, which is the faithfulness as a father, it's the fruit of the Spirit, how does that faithfulness work itself out in our lives? And I just want to take a few moments just to sort of talk about a few things that I was just seeing this morning. And really, you know, very simple, nothing rocket science in a sense, but I just was reminded of the passage in Hebrews chapter 3 where the writer to the Hebrews talks about Moses being faithful in God's house as a servant. And the writer to the Hebrews compares Moses with Jesus. And Jesus was faithful over God's house as a son. And, you know, the writer to the Hebrews is drawing out that incredible difference there that really struck me. You know, Moses was faithful, and, you know, he is known as a faithful servant of God. He's known as a faithful man, and he had everything thrown at him. He had a pretty rebellious nation to lead. You know, life wasn't easy for him, but yet he was faithful. You know, and yeah, he had his ups and downs. There were times he got it wrong. He made mistakes, but he really was one of the heroes of faith. We read about him in Hebrews 11. But that faithfulness that he lived his whole life in, the writer to the Hebrews says he did it as a servant. But Jesus was faithful as a son. And I started to think about the difference. And of course, one of the things, and I think we've all fallen into this trap, I know I have, it's we believe that faithfulness is a virtue, it's a good quality. And so we seek to outwork or live out that virtue in our own strength, in our own through our own works. And we can start off, often we can start off with a lot of good intentions, and, you know, we can do it with all the right motives and everything else. But if it's rooted in that servant heart, it can ultimately become slavish duty. And I don't believe that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is not us living in slavish duty. The fruit of the Spirit, the faithfulness that grows in our life, is simply because we are rooted and grounded in the Spirit. We are rooted and grounded in love. We are in Christ. And so the life of Christ, the life of the Spirit, flows through us, and it produces all of these fruits. And so I started to think, how did Jesus live as a son? How was he faithful as a son? Because clearly, to the writer to the Hebrews, this is a huge difference. You know, Moses was great, but it was limited. Jesus was even better because he was living as a son. And I was just reminded of some of the things I was sharing last night. I was doing a webcast into Poland, and I was talking about how Jesus revealed the Father. And really, that was the whole point of Jesus' ministry. That was the key. Everything Jesus did, he did to please his Father. He did to bring glory to his Father. You know, I was trying to explain what it means to bring glory to someone. You know, it It says very often in the Gospels that Jesus brought glory to his Father. And I often think, what does that mean? What does it look like? Because glory is one of those words that we use a lot, but what does it actually mean? What did it mean for Jesus to bring glory to the Father? And I like it simple. And I can cope with simple. And simple for me is very, very straightforward. Jesus made his Father look good. You know, that's what it is to bring glory to someone. You want them to look good. And everything Jesus did, he did because he wanted to make his Father look good. And, you know, he only said the words the Father said. He only did the things he saw the Father doing. It was, you know, he basically lived his life in total submission to his Father. But that submission wasn't a heavy yoke. It was a light yoke of relationship. And so, as I was just thinking about this morning, the question came in my mind is, are we primarily faithful as a servant or as a son? Are we faithful to the law, or are we seeking to be faithful to a person, like Jesus was faithful to his Father? Are we wanting to mimic that and be faithful to our Father and only do what we see him doing, only say what we hear him saying, only give ourselves to the things that he's giving us to do? See, I think for me that's, you know, if we want to see this fruit of faithfulness be an expression of our lives, I think we need to embrace what the way Jesus lived, which was to live as a son, to live as a daughter. You know, and as we walk as Jesus walked, in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, that faithfulness, the Father's faithfulness, will be manifest in our lives. See, faithfulness is a good quality. It's good to be faithful in marriage. It's good to be faithful in your employment. It's good to be faithful in your church. It's good to be faithful with the jobs that you do. But it's so easy to let that become slavish duty. And yet we can do all the same things, but from a completely different heart. And that's really what struck me today, is that, you know, sometimes faithfulness is hard work. You know, sometimes faithfulness in marriage, faithfulness at work, faithfulness with your kids, it's hard work. But if you've got that sense of firm and constant devotion that you're, you know, you really are yoked to something, then as we're yoked to the Father and as we're connected to these other people that we're relating to, then it's like his life flows through us and out of us. And to me, that is what this fruit of the Spirit is. Of course, the word is faithful. You know, and there's an element of faith in this. You know, as we can't, you know, like we said about peace and like we said about joy, it's not our fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And the moment we think it's our fruit, we're going down the wrong road. You know, the moment we think, I've got to be faithful, what have I got to do? You know, how am I going to be faithful? We're going down the wrong track. But what we want is the flow of life through us. So, you know, the Father is faithful to us. And as that grows in our lives, you know, we become a faithful son, a faithful daughter. And the slavish duty falls away. And sometimes, I think very often, you know, there's an element of faith that's needed. You know, when you're walking with a friend through a difficult situation, sometimes that friend can't see very clearly. You know, they're so involved in the pain and the difficulty, they've got no perspective. But if you're that brother or that sister that comes alongside them and says, hey, come on, let's do this together. Sometimes you've got a bit more perspective than they have. You can see things maybe a little bit more clearly. But it's kind of that journey of faith that says, I can see a little bit, but I know there's more over the horizon that we're going to see. And it's that faith that can help you walk through that situation with your friend. But you know, faith is a gift. And you know, we don't see with our own eyes, we don't see with our own intellect, we see with the Father's eyes, we see with His perspective. And so faithfulness is, it is being, there is a sense of being filled with faith. And I just came back, and this is the last thing I just want to say before I bring Barry back in. It's like I grew up wanting to be a faithful person. You know, I wanted to be at church on time. I wanted to put the chairs out well. I wanted to play in a worship band. And, you know, I wanted to be reliable. I wanted to be, you know, I wanted my yes to be yes and my, you know, my no to be no and whatever. And I started out with a lot of good intentions. But, you know, there came a point when I realized that I'd lost that aspect of faith. I'd lost that aspect of reliance and dependence on the Lord. And I got into my own strength. And I was still a faithful person, but I'd slipped into doing it as a slavish duty. And it was a wake-up call for me. It was just a time of reflection. It was a time to say, Father, I've made a mistake. Father, I've got the wrong balance. Father, I've gone down the wrong road. You know, I want to come back to that place of putting my trust and my faith in You. I want to rely on You. I want to depend on You. I want to let Your faithfulness fill me. And, you know, sure, I want to be a faithful person. I want to be known as a faithful person. But I don't want to do it out of a slavish duty. I want to do it as a son, where I'm really just focused on what the Father's saying and what the Father's doing. You see, I think sometimes, you know, there's two things that can motivate faithfulness. One is love, and the other is fear. And when we're motivated by fear, that's when our faithfulness becomes slavish duty. But when we're motivated by love, it's completely different. So Barry, come back and let's just see where we go with all of this.
Well, that's good stuff, mate. That's right on. That's again, it's the, you know, it's kind of gets back to the motivation. Why do we do what we do? Is it to be loved, or is it because we're loved? Right.
Yeah.
It actually kind of comes down to that in that whole idea of faithfulness. The one thing too that I really felt I wanted to encourage people with, and again, this is maybe just my perspective, and this is coming from a type A personality. Certainly, hopefully, a little bit more in the past than today. But you know, where you're always, your measurement is performance, and one of the things I feel the Father has encouraged me on, and I just want to encourage you in the same way, is to redefine what faithfulness is by His grid and not by your own. You know, we live in a world where we're so caught up with measuring what we do by what other people are doing and comparing ourselves with other people and feeling that, you know, if we don't have an international ministry and if we're not traveling and if we're not doing this, if we're not whatever, then all of a sudden we feel somehow that maybe less faithful or more of a failure because we have not lived up to maybe our own expectations of what we think God is looking for. And the thing that I really feel, you know, and again, this is, you know, God speaking to me and kind of setting my heart at rest, is that faithfulness is relative to your life. It's not, faithfulness has nothing to do with what somebody else is calling and their anointing and their gifting and their ministry is. Like, you know, God bless Billy Graham. You know, what a champion in the kingdom and in his faithfulness to the you know end of his life. But you know, I'm not Billy Graham, and so what I, you know, if I spent my life trying to measure me and my value and my self-worth based on what his calling was, I will always feel inadequate. Mm-hmm. And I believe that what impresses God, our Father, mm-hmm. is our, in the sense of our faithfulness, is being faithful to what he's entrusted us with, right? And when you look at the, you know, oftentimes if we'll talk about the parable of the talents, and we have the one and the five and the ten, and then, you know, we tend to focus on the fact that, you know, it's always about getting more and about doubling and product, you know, it's kind of like, you know, being opportunistic. But, you know, the one with the one talent, like the even in the story, there's just like, just use the one, like, yeah. Even just get interest in the bank, like don't hide it. And like Mark said about fear, how fear can motivate us either to work and to perform, or the fear of failure causes us to hide and you know and try to bury our talent. And I think, you know, again, it's this great equalizer that mm-hmm. all the Father is asking for each and every one of us is to be faithful in our own life with what he's entrusted us with. Yeah. And for some people, it's being a mom, loving their kids, and being faithful in that, loving their, you know, their family. It might be, you know, a grandparent, you know, at a stage of life where it's just going to your grandkids' football games and loving them and being faithful in church, being faithful to your spouse. So I just feel, you know, oftentimes, especially in evangelical charismatic Christianity, where we're always living with the pressure of the Great Commission, mm-hmm. that we can sometimes feel inadequate when we measure that our life isn't like, you know, that missionary or this person or this itinerant or whatever. And so I don't know if there maybe this is only for one person listening. I don't know. But maybe the Father's just saying, you know what, I just absolutely love it, your faithfulness in the way that you love your kids, or the way that you love your grandees, the way that you just, you know, just quietly go about your life. And so I guess I just wanted to add that, Mark, because yeah. I just feel like that the idea of again the kind of the orphan mindset that can come into what we determine faithfulness is, right? And, you know, like I've seen friends of mine who are in ministry and, you know, I am blown away by their faithfulness, but they don't have this massive ministry, but they're faithful with what they have. And so anyway, I don't, does that make any sense to you, Mark?
Or? It does. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's,
okay. So
it's easy to be a faithful servant. I think we're good at being, we do, faithful servants. It's kind of ingrained in us, you know, not just in church, but in families and work and, you know, school and everything else. It's kind of one of those things that's put into us. But being a faithful son is completely different, you know, and it doesn't matter whether we've been given a lot or a little. Like Barry said, you know, we don't have to aspire for the 10 talents. You know, if the Father's given me one, I'm going to do my best with it. I'll be happy. You know, I'd rather have one and do well with it than 10 and mess it up. you know, and I just keep coming back, you know, where we started this evening. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. All these things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And I just read a couple of verses in Romans chapter 8. Just read those out. It's verses verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to it. If you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will live. Yeah. And I just think it's what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 10, where he says, the enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy, but I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. And, you know, he's talking about that Spirit-filled life. And I think sometimes we get kind of sidetracked thinking a Spirit-filled life is all about the gifts. And they're so important. You know, those gifts of the Spirit are really, really important. But actually the life of the Spirit, I think, is primarily to lead us to that place where in total surrender we say, Abba.
Yeah.
You know, and Father, Dad. And, you know, the more we can surrender as we say Abba, that's what it is to be filled with the Spirit. That's what a life in the Spirit is like. And then, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all the rest of it will flow through a surrendered heart.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't like talking about surrender. Surrender can sound like an act of weakness. And actually it is an act of weakness. It's where we say, I can't do it.
Yeah.
But you know, this surrender is a good surrender. It's saying, I can't do it. I just can't do it. But Father, I surrender to you. And, you know, my prayer this evening is that we can say, Father, I surrender to you. And let that Abba cry that I know we all long for, let that Abba cry come from the depths of a surrendered heart.
And I think that if we are kind of moving into ministry and praying, I feel that and again, it might be I might be just talking to one person out there about this, but I do feel that if you feel like you've been carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, and you have expectations of your life even, and maybe your life hasn't worked out the way you thought it should have, in the sense of your what you've done in the kingdom or what you've accomplished, I just feel, and again, it's that surrendered heart that Mark is talking about. It's just, can you even surrender to God any pressure that you maybe have put yourself on, and maybe disappointment, and just really that the Father would help you rediscover the glorious one-of-a-kind creation he made you to be. And you don't have to leap tall buildings at a single bound to be significant in his eyes. You know, just to live your life in a faithfulness to him and to those who are in your sphere of influence is enough. And that brings him joy. So if that is you in this time of even of when we come into ministry to prayer in prayer time, that would you be able to surrender any of those kind of the weights and the expectations of what faithfulness is, and how you feel disappointed that you've disappointed yourself, you've disappointed others, maybe you've disappointed God, and that's you know, even in our faithlessness, you know, even if that is the case, the Father just remains faithful because he cannot deny himself.
Yeah.
Because he has joined himself with us forever. So
let's just open our heart, shall we? Father, if faithfulness has become a burden around our necks, Father, if we're suffering under the weight of so-called faithfulness, duty, obligation, Father, we just want to come to you today and allow you to lift that burden off our shoulders.
Yeah.
Allow you to lift that burden out of our heart, that weight. May it just be lifted off us. Father, if we set out with good intentions, good motivations, and somehow slipped into servant-hearted Christianity, Father, would you just lift that weight off us today? Father, would you set us free from that burden that so easily enslaves us? Father, we recognize it's so easy to fall back into that way of doing things. But Father, thank you that you are faithful. That you are a faithful Father. You are devoted to us. You're just so devoted to us. That you hang on to us even when we're being stupid. That you ruthlessly hang on to us because of your love for us.
Yeah.
And so, Father, may we just rest tonight in your ruthless love. And as we fall back into your arms, Father, there would be a surrender that comes into our hearts that just says, Father, I give up. In my own strength, I give up. And the more we surrender, Father, the deeper within us is that Abba cry. Thank you, Father, that you don't want servants. You want sons, you want daughters who will walk as Jesus walks.
Yeah.
Who will want to make you look good just as Jesus made you look good.
Yes.
So, Father, we let go of burdens, we let go of those expectations we put upon ourselves. We just do want to fall back into your arms. Because you are faithful.
Father, we just pray that there would just be just a newfound freedom, just to be who you created us to be.
Mm-hmm.
That any kind of misguided understanding of even the destiny that you have planned for us before the foundation of the world, that Father, that we would be freed from kind of even self-expectations of what we thought we should do, and even the disappointment that we had. And I just pray, Father, that we would return to the beautiful simplicity of a childlike heart in these things, that we would just be able to be like a little child that does not measure their value by productivity, but just they live from their heart, and they influence the people that are around them. And Father, so I just pray even that for a beautiful simplicity of heart to come to each one of us, that we don't carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. We don't measure ourselves by even what other people do. We can cheer people on, but we don't have to feel threatened or devalued by other people's achievements. Father, I just thank you that when we're faithful to love those around us, when we're faithful to be a husband or a wife or a father or mother, granddad, grandma, it's even that brings joy to your heart, Father. Because as Mark said, Father, we're your sons and daughters, and in the natural, we don't try to relate to our children through their professions, what they do for work. We relate to them on a heart level because they're our kids. And that's the same way you do with us, Father. You don't relate to us through our giftings. in our anointings. You relate to us through heart to heart, absolute, over the top love and affection for us. So, Father, I just pray even now for anybody that would need a Sabbath rest and just enter into the rest of God and cease from their own works. Father, I just pray by your Spirit that you would lead us all into those green pastures. Wow. And just restore our souls, Father. And just even the joy of the simplicity of life. Even with every breath, Father, our life makes you smile. And in the same way, Father, the cry of our heart is that we would be faithful. We would be found faithful to you, not as servants, but as sons and daughters. Whoa, Father. Thank you, Abba.
Thanks, Barry.
Whew. Hey, matey. It's always a joy, bro, to do this together.
Sure is. Next week's party week, we'll have our special effects polished. Thank you, everybody, for joining
Mark,
us.
Mark's going to be joining us.
So, yeah. Alrighty.
All right, guys, big hugs. Hope you have a great week in preparation for Christmas. And,
We'll see you next week.
Just enjoy it.
Yeah.
See you next week.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.